Well, a word of thanks to the Reverend Brown for his words of welcome. It's kind of strange to be welcome to my own pulpit, but anyhow, I want to thank him for the words of welcome. And we are delighted to host this youth rally this evening and have you all gathered from across the province. And it's wonderful to see so many young people met here tonight together in this fashion before the Lord and around the Word of God. And we pray that his blessing and his power will be among us as we meet together to worship him now in the scriptures and in the message that he has given for this occasion. So let us just have a word of prayer before we read the word of God, and we will commit our time around the scriptures now to the Lord. Let's all bow together. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And every one of you who knows the Lord, pray earnestly that God will speak to your heart, that he will come near and bless his truth to your soul. Eternal God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence already known and felt in this gathering this evening. We bless thee for the work of the Youth Council, for our brother Mr. Brown, the President, and we thank thee for all those who labour with him, and we pray that the hand of God will be upon this ministry as it goes forth and continues on in days to come. O Lord, bless us now with a great sense of thy nearness as we turn to the Holy Scriptures. May it please thee to visit us tonight and speak to hearts in this gathering. Thank thee for all the young people who are here, for those among them who are thine, who know the Lord, who are born of the Spirit. O Lord, give help, we pray, to those who are thy children. May they press on with God. Pray for any among us who may be cold and careless, backslidden, and are wandering afar off, and others who may not yet be regenerate. O Lord, do thy work, we pray, and may thy name be glorified this evening as we turn now to the scriptures. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and for his sake, and for his eternal praise. Amen and amen. Now turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles, and the chapter 33. I want to begin reading in our reading tonight, just toward the end of the 33rd chapter of 2 Chronicles, and then we'll continue into the first part of chapter 34. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, may not be too familiar. 2 Chronicles is one of those books, along with 1 Chronicles, that may not be read as much as they ought to be, and so we're going to read from there tonight, and I trust that what we read will whet your appetites to read more of these wonderful books. And may the Lord bless us as we read together now. So verse number 20 of 2 Chronicles 33, and reading on into chapter 34. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father, for Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him, and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they brake down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And I would love to read on, but we'll end there for time's sake at verse 8. And I would ask you, young folk, to read the rest of this chapter, maybe this evening or sometime tomorrow or whenever it might be convenient for you to do so. It's a wonderful chapter. The story continues. What happens here has to be fully understood, and therefore I would encourage you to read this great chapter, which we've read part of just now. Now the Lord has set upon the page of Scripture the record of the names and the lives and the witness of some of his illustrious servants, and has done so as an encouragement for his people throughout all generations. One of the most outstanding examples of these illustrious servants, as I call them, servants of God, is the godly King Josiah. There is biographical detail given of him in 2 Kings, but the fullest account is presented to us in chapters 34 and 35 of this book of 2 Chronicles. Now, King Josiah lived at a time that was, what we might say, was late in the day for the nation of Judah, in the sense that very soon after the events of these chapters, Judah was overrun and the people were taken into captivity. Josiah died in the year 610 BC. He was just a young man, really, of 39 years of age. You might think that's rather old, but just wait until you get to 39 and you'll be saying to yourself, well, I'm not so old after all. But anyhow, he died at the age of 39, and just 5 years later, in 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar's first invasion of Judah took place, and that resulted in the captivity of many of the nation in Babylon. The sin of Judah had reached such a level in those days that there was no hope of deliverance for the nation. There was no way in which God could spare the people of Judah because of sin and failure and departure from the Lord and from his word and from his ways. And therefore judgment was inevitable. And it came about as the Lord had threatened that it would. And yet for a little period before the actual judgment came and the captivity took place, there was a season of revival. There was a time of the blessing of God. And it came about through the grace of God, of course, and through the life and the witness and the testimony of this godly King Josiah. As we gather here tonight, we might wonder where we are in our nation. I don't know whether you young people think very much about current affairs. I suppose you do to some degree. Or if you ever stop and think about the state of the nation in which we live, and even our own little land of Northern Ireland, the point at which we're found with regard to the spiritual and the moral decline is very, very evident on every hand. The deep, deep darkness, the terrible wickedness that prevails across our nation in these days. These are matters that should interest you, and if you're a child of God, over which you should be much in prayer because of the developments that are taking place that are of a very alarming kind. Reports come out just about on a daily basis of corruption and the terrible events that are taking place, even at government levels and in other realms, other public realms, and we are dismayed and we are even disgusted at what we hear of and what we read about with regard to these matters that are clear evidences of the departure that there is from the Bible and from the things of God and from those matters that are precious and dear to the Lord's people. But we should remember that what is seen at these levels is symptomatic or as an evidence of every level of national identity with regard to where we are going and where we are headed in days like these. And all because of the shameful spiritual apostasy that is within professing Christianity. And therefore, it is true to say that we have a clear parallel between our nation today, our people today, and the nation of Judah and the people of Judah in the days when Josiah lived. And as we consider the times in which we serve God and wonder how much longer we will continue, much more time there will likely be before God's judgment finally falls, we should take encouragement from what we have read this evening with regard to these few details that are in these verses about this man, King Josiah. As we've read, he reigned for 31 years. And for 20 of those years, he saw a great work done for God. Under his leadership, under his spiritual influence, there was at least a time of respite before the storm of wrath eventually descended. And as we study Josiah's life and his testimony, we're able to say that Josiah walked with God and Josiah witnessed for God. And that is the line of thought I want to take up tonight in this meeting as we come together in this fashion. I want to address you along these lines. Josiah walked with God and Josiah witnessed for God. And as we do so, we will see the striking fact that because of his walk and his witness, in the times when he was a young man, there is great encouragement as we gather here this evening in this youth rally, in this meeting house. May I say at this point, as I look out over this assembly of young people, there is great potential for a work to be done for God. The young men who've reported this evening have been encouraging you to take up the challenge and get out in time to come to engage in outreach and another spiritual activity with regard to the work of the youth council or maybe in your own home church, whatever it might be. And how wonderful it would be that God would raise up from among us tonight in this gathering and from his church in general many Josiahs who will indeed impact the nation in this day and in this time by their walk and by their witness. That is my prayer. That is my longing. That is my burden in coming tonight to preach to you from these verses as we look at Josiah's walk and Josiah's witness. That from among you, both young men and young women will be touched by God. And we will see many rising up, responding, going forth to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord, whatever way he pleases to direct you and guide you, and, as I say, make an impact for Christ in a very dark and wicked day. So we will come, therefore, to look at this subject tonight. First of all, the commencement of Josiah's walk and witness. We read about it there in verse number 3. Look with me at those words. And they are striking words, verse number 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of his father. Just dwell on those words for a moment or two, young people. While he was yet young, in the 8th year of his reign, he's now 16 years old. And that, no doubt, is the age at which many of you are found tonight, 16, 15, 17, whatever it might be. There are many of you who are around that particular age And how striking it is that in this verse we are told that the commencement of his walk and his witness for God began when he was 16 years old. As we're shown in verse number 1, he began to reign at the age of 8. That may seem astounding to us, but well, in the history of our own nation, there have been kings who have begun to reign early on in life, and so maybe it's not so surprising, but anyhow, he began to reign at the age of 8 years old, and in verse 3, he began to seek after God at the age of 16, and the detail of explaining why the seeking after God began at that age is given to us in verse number 2. It says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now, young folk, that's a summary of Josiah's whole life. He commenced to walk with God and witness for God at the age of 16. And throughout the rest of his days, until he went to be with the Lord at 39, he never declined to the right or to the left. And we'll see more about that a little while as we make our way through this message tonight. And so we find here the commencement of his walk and his witness. And we're noticing here his youthfulness. Oh, how appropriate these words are. He began to seek after the God of his father while he was yet young. While he was yet young, may I ask you, have you begun to seek after God as someone who is yet young? Or have you not begun yet? Has it not taken place in your heart and in your life and in your soul? Oh, may the Lord speak to you tonight and smite you deeply within your very being, that this might be your testimony, that there will be a commencement of a walk with God and a witness for God, even this very night, while you are yet young, while life is before you and there's opportunity to serve the Lord and to live for him. We pray that what we're reading about here concerning Josiah and his youthfulness and the beginning of his walk and his witness will also be true of you. And in a sense, what we read here is a surprising development, the commencement of his walk and his witness, because there is much in Josiah's background that was not really conducive to this seeking after God in his youth and the beginning of his walk and his witness with regard to the Lord. You see, the times of Josiah's youth were difficult times. Let me take you through a few facts that will make this absolutely clear. He lived in very difficult days. He was born 6 years before the death of his grandfather Manasseh. I will leave you to work that out, but that's exactly his age, or the time at which he was born, 6 years before his grandfather Manasseh died. You can learn that from chapter 33, verses 20 and 21. Now, Manasseh, for most of his life, had been a very wicked man. He had lived without God. He had served other idols. He indeed had actually overthrown and destroyed the great impact of the revival that God sent in the days of his father Hezekiah. Manasseh was a most wicked man for most of his life. And then God had mercy on him. And God saved this man Manasseh, who was Josiah's grandfather. He repented shortly before his death, and God had mercy on him, and he was saved. But much of the legacy that he left behind him, spiritually speaking, was of a most terrible nature. And so while Manasseh personally was shown mercy, and as it were, he was plucked as a brand from the burning, yet he had so lived and had so served the devil that the awful marks and wounds and influence of his wicked life were not erased, but continued and were there even in the days of this grandson of his, this young lad called Josiah. Ammon, Josiah's father, Manasseh's son, and Josiah's father was also an evil man. We read about him there in the closing part of chapter 33. And so I mean that what I say is real. It's true. He lived in difficult days, an ungodly grandfather, until the Lord stepped in and saved him. And then it seems his own father, Ammon, was never converted. And so we read about him there toward the end of chapter 33 in verses 21 through to 23. The name Ammon means workman. But here's a man who was a workman for the devil and a workman for evil. And so for 6 years as a young boy, Josiah had been under the evil influence not only of his grandfather Manasseh, but his own father Ammon. And then Josiah didn't start to seek God until he was 16. And that means that his early years were detrimentally affected by evil influences. Now, young people, notice these things, because you live in a day when there are many, many evil influences, and where there are men who are alive or maybe gone now who have left a legacy of evil. And it is not a good day in which to be alive, as it were. It's not a good day in which to be growing up. There are so many influences that are corrupt, that are evil, that are designed to bring you down and destroy you and have you come to shipwreck. Understand that, young people. That's the kind of day in which you're living. And concerning that, you need to be fully aware. However, while he was yet young, and this is the wonderful thing, the blessed change came over Josiah's soul, and he began to seek God while he was yet young. Notice that word while in verse number 3. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, we're told he began to seek after the God of David his father. The word while is indeed a vital word. While he was still young, before the hardness of sin actually set in upon his own soul, he began to seek God. While he was yet young, that is, before the awful course and trend of those difficult times swept him away, Josiah began to seek God. I challenge you young folk tonight to think very carefully about this. These words indicate that there is yet time for you to seek God. That before evil sweeps you away, before you are caught up so much so in the trends of this corrupt generation that you are taken away from all that you know and all that you cherish maybe at this stage, there is still time to seek God and begin to walk with God and serve God for the rest of your days. I want to look a little farther back into Josiah's past here, indeed, long before he was ever born. Turn with me, young people, to 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And we'll find something remarkable here about this boy, as he still is, this young man, Josiah. 1 Kings 13. Please turn in your Bible. Use your Bibles. Mark the place that I'm going to show you now, because this is indeed a remarkable statement. 1 Kings 13. And the first two verses, it says this, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." Now, young folk, this reference here is actually 324 years before Josiah was ever born. And here's the remarkable thing that we're noticing. We're noticing that Josiah's walk with God and witness for God began in difficult days against the background that I've shown you with regard to his grandfather and his father Ammon. And yet, over 300 years before he ever saw the light of day, God named Josiah. And God said that Josiah would do what he actually began to do. In that chapter, 2 Chronicles 34, and also into 2 Chronicles chapter 35. You see, God in his sovereignty had Josiah in his eternal mind. And he purposed to raise him up and walk with him and witness for him. How wonderful these words are in 1 Kings chapter 13. What a prophecy this is. What a reminder to you young people tonight that there is a sovereign God in heaven who has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And even from all eternity, he has had in mind this man and that man, this lady and the other lady who have been raised up throughout the generations to love him and to serve him and to work for him and to witness for him. And Josiah is an outstanding example. The name Josiah, we should just tell you what the name means at this stage. The name Josiah means Jehovah supports. Get that, young person. Jehovah supports. What a name in terms of its meaning, because God saved Josiah and God supported Josiah. Think about that too. God had this young man earmarked and he had him singled out and he spoke of him and he said something of what he was going to do when he would be born and when he'd become king all those centuries later on, and he was going to support him in what he was going to do. And now I want you to think about that, because that tells you something, that in your walk and your witness, concerning which you might be very fearful, and you wonder how you could ever walk with God and witness for God in such a wicked day. But remember this, God supports those whom he raises up as he sends them and he brings them upon the scene and he has them labor for him. He supports them. Another little detail about this man, Josiah. I've said that some of his life stories in 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings 22, verse 1, let me read you the verse. And we have a couple of details there that are very interesting. And I want you to see them, think about them. 2 Kings 22 and the verse number 1. And it says concerning Josiah, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, or Jedidah, rather. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And in those words, don't be put off by the names that may sound unfamiliar to some degree. In those words, you've got his maternal grandfather, this man called Adadiah. And that name means pleasing to Jehovah. And his mother is called Jedidah, which means beloved of Jehovah. And therefore, take his own name, Jehovah supports. And then his maternal grandfather. That name means pleasing to Jehovah. And then his mother's name, beloved of Jehovah. In other words, we're seeing a pattern here that in his background, not only was the Lord's eye on him and the Lord's mind set on him, and may that be the case tonight. May there be young men and young women in this meeting who will suddenly realize that God's eye has been on you and his mind set on you to have you live for him and serve him. But also, think of the privileges that you've had. Here is Josiah, who undoubtedly had a godly mother. Her name, as I tell you, means beloved of Jehovah. The Lord loved Josiah's mother. And then he had on his mother's side this grandfather whose name means pleasing to Jehovah. And that would indicate to me that his maternal grandfather walked with God and served God, and his mother did the same, and she was loved by Jehovah. And undoubtedly, they had a great influence over Josiah, so that when he was yet young, he began to seek God. And his walk with God commenced, and his witness for God continued throughout the rest of his days. Oh, I ask you tonight, dear young person, to think about someone in your family who is loved by Jehovah and who's pleasing to God. And you see that testimony every day, or you've been aware of it from your earliest years. Maybe there's a grandfather in your family, and that grandfather might be with the Lord. tonight. And undoubtedly that is true for some in this gathering, a grandfather, a grandmother who's now at home with the Lord. And that individual was someone who was pleasing to Jehovah. And you can remember that grandmother or that grandfather who taught you to pray, who sat down with you and opened up the Bible, who influenced your life. And you can't get away from it. You can't get rid of the thoughts. And all the tugging of the world and all the influence of evil cannot strip your mind of the memories of a godly grandfather or grandmother. And perhaps there's a parent in your life who's brokenhearted over you because you have not yet begun to walk with God or witness for God and serve God, a father or a mother, one who is beloved of Jehovah like Josiah's mother was, and your mother or your father is yearning over your salvation, over your soul, that you might begin to walk with God. And so as we look at Josiah's youthfulness in regard to the commencement of his walk with God and his witness for God, we find all of this detail that is very, very important, that shows, as it were, both sides of a young person's life, or what could be true of many young people here tonight. All of the evil, all of the ungodliness, maybe in your background, or the influences that are there, and yet on the other hand, the godly line and the godly influence, and that which has been raised up by God in the past, in your days even, to remind you of your own sin and your own need. I ask you the question, in your youthful days, have you yet begun to walk with God and to witness for God? Have you been brought in brokenness and in contrition before the Lord to seek Him as Josiah did? You see, the Lord displayed His sovereign control. The Lord displayed that He was at war with sin. He displayed the fact that He was a God of mercy by raising up Josiah and by saving him at an early age to do what I am saying tonight, to walk with God and witness for God for the rest of his days. And I say from this pulpit, may God raise up a host of Josiahs who in their early days, their early years, will take the same course as he took. So, we notice this particular point and the fact that it's all within the very parameters of his youthfulness that all this began to happen. Again, I pause and say, young people, what potential there is across this gathering tonight. I could ask you a question that those of you who are saved, are you walking close with God? Are you witnessing for the Lord the way you should? These are important questions. Or are you kind of drifting along? Not really very serious at all about spiritual things. And not really having a deep interest in what should be the focus of your attention and all your energy and all your heart and soul. Oh, I say again from this pulpit now to all of our young people here tonight, may there be the commencement of this walk and this witness that we see in the life of Josiah. Notice here, not only his youthfulness with regard to this commencement of his walk and witness, but his yearning. Because in verse number 3, it says this, turning back here to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Notice what it says specifically. It says, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Now, think about those words, because David wasn't Josiah's immediate father. We already learned that his immediate father was Ammon. But this is very striking, because David is the first king of Judah, really, taking the line of Judah. And he has lived hundreds of years before this young lad called Josiah. Indeed, David, as I say, was the first king of the house of Judah, and Josiah was almost the last king of Judah. There were a few more after him who were short-lived and who reigned only for a very brief period of time. And therefore, we're looking really here at the first and the last kings of the line of Judah in that era. And it's remarkable that Josiah's yearning in his youthfulness was to walk after the example of a man who had died long, long before him. That is, David, his father. You see, the Bible uses the word father in many senses. And here it's used of David concerning Josiah with regard to being an ancestor of Josiah. Remotely found in the past, this man, David, as far as Josiah is concerned. And yet, Josiah knows about that godly ancestor. Undoubtedly, he has heard of him and read about him, maybe read some of his psalms. I don't believe him speculating when I say that, because David, remember, was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And David's record of life is already put down in the books of God. And I imagine, I want you to do this, imagine with me tonight, Josiah takes up the psalms. He takes up the story of David and he begins to read. And he says to himself, what a man David was. He served God. He lived for God. He walked with God. Oh yes, he had his faults and he had his blemishes. And Josiah would have read of those and his struggles and his battles and his difficulties and all that happened in the life of that great man of God, King David. But as Josiah would have read of these things, his heart was moved, you see, to begin to seek after God. But the Holy Spirit tells us that he sought after the God of David, his father. What I learned from that is vitally important, young people. As I talk about David's, the commencement of his walk and his witness for God, and that is, he yearned to walk in the old paths that had been followed hundreds of years before by David. Look at those words again. He walked in the ways of David. The ways of David. And that means that he walked in the same kind of pathway, according to the same principles, the same spiritual ideals, the same ways that David followed. Now Josiah walks in those ways because he knew that the ways of David, when he was a mighty man of God in his generation, were ways that pleased God. And he says to himself, here's my role model. Well, think about that expression, because it's used so much. It's maybe quite worn out in our times now, but you know what it means, the role model. Young people in the world around us have their role model, and most often it's someone who's infamous for ungodliness and wickedness. Someone who leads a life of debauchery and a life that is spent in serving the devil. That's exactly what it is. And young person, do not make that kind of individual your role model. All the influences are there to grip your attention and lead you away after such an individual. It may be a sports character, someone who's well known in the field of sports and so forth, that arena. Or, well, they call them entertainers, and they are spewing out the filth and the ungodliness and the immorality of their evil hearts in their music, in the messages that they convey, in what's supposed to be called singing, or is called singing, but is so far removed from real music and singing that you wouldn't recognize it. Is one of these people your role model? I tell you, if your role model, young man or young woman, is a man or woman of the world, you're not walking with God and you're not witnessing for God, because it's impossible. You do need someone to whom you may look up. And that's what Josiah did. And I've explained to you how he did it. He got the writings of David. He knew about this man, his remote ancestor. And he was not ashamed to have him as his role model. Now, we're talking here about hundreds of years between David and Josiah. And if you went back in history to someone in the remote past, maybe one of the Puritans or one of the Reformers, or maybe more recently in terms of centuries, a C.H. Spurgeon, someone like that, my, the world would think that you have completely lost your mind. Because you'll be going back to men of God who will show you how to live and walk with God. But do not be put off by what the world might say about these men whom I've just mentioned or many more like them. Why should we follow after men like that? Why was it right for Josiah to begin to seek after the God of David, his father, and walk in the ways of David, his father? Because in David, Josiah saw the Lord. And when you think of someone who was renowned for godliness, and I've mentioned some names there from the past, why do they stand out in the annals of church history? Why are they renowned by God's people and generations since those days? It's because those men were like Christ. The Apostle Paul, I was telling our own congregation just the other Sunday about this, because we're having a series in 1 Thessalonians on Sunday mornings, and Paul refers to the Thessalonians having become imitators. So the word actually means, it's substitute followers in our Bibles, but it means imitators. And when I explain to the congregation, I just mentioned to you in passing now, for it's very relevant, what the word signifies, the word follower or imitator signifies is, they saw the nature of Christ, and they saw the pattern of Christ in other Christians brought to the Lord before their time. Indeed, the remarkable thing is with the Thessalonians, they were followers of people they had never set eyes on, the Christians in Judea. They were hundreds of miles from them. They had never met them. They had never seen them. They never talked with them. But you see, they had the same spirit and the same Christ and the same heart and the same beliefs, and they followed them. And that's exactly what they were following, not the people themselves, but the Christ who was in them. And that's why I stress this tonight. Young person, have a yearning in your soul. Ask God to give it to you, that you will walk with Him and you will witness for Him in the light of how others in generations gone by have lived for the Lord. Make them your role models. Make them the ones to whom you look up and on whom you pattern your own life, because Christ was in them. And therefore it's really the image of Christ that Josiah saw in David. The likeness of Christ. And after him he longed and yearned with all his soul. There's the beginning. There's the commencement of this walk and this witness for God in the life of Josiah. Just a word then about the consistency of his walk and his witness. I already referred to it, the end of verse 2. It says, he did walk in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And I tell you, that is a wonderful testimony. There's the consistency of his walk and his witness. He declined, the word means to turn aside. And so it's actually saying he didn't turn aside. There was no decline, either to the right hand or to the left. There's consistency in his walk and in his witness. And there are different features of that consistency as you read down these verses. It's consistency that's marked by prayer, because again we read about him seeking the God of his father David. That's not only his salvation, that's his prayer life. Josiah was a praying man. And remember, he's only 16 at this point. Let me ask you, young person, do you have a prayer life? And I know that you may have heard that term before, and you might have been challenged with that kind of question before. Undoubtedly you have. But why is it so important? Why would a preacher ever ask you such a question? Do you have a prayer life? Well, here's the reason. Here's why it's so serious. If you have no prayer life, there's no grace in your heart. won't that sink in? If you don't know God, in the sense of going before Him and getting down in His presence to talk with Him, your heart is devoid of grace, or you're so badly backslidden, your life is empty. This consistency must be marked by prayer. There is the beginning of the life, and as we've seen, and prayer's in it there, because you only can begin this life, commence this walk and witness for God, when you come to God and you cry to Him to save your soul. And it goes on from there. And there will be, therefore, consistency when there's prayer. It's marked by progress. Verse 3 again. In the 8th year of his reign, he began to seek after the God of his father. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. Notice the years are given here. In the 8th year of his reign, that means he's 16. And then in the 12th year, he's now 20. And so he's going on with God. There's consistency in the sense that he progresses. And go down with me as well to verse number 8. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land. And so there's further progress there. You notice this. He's always going forward. He began when he was 16. And he kept on going. And the years are marked out for you, young person. Can you look back and say, whatever your age is tonight, when I was 12, maybe we'll just use 12, I came to know the Lord. And when I was 16, then I began to find a deeper experience with God in the place of prayer or Bible knowledge. When I was 20, I took a leap forward. I'm just illustrating the point. Can you say tonight that there's consistency in your walk and witness because you have been moving forward and progressing in the things of God? Steady progression, not haphazard, not jumping to and fro, but this consistent progress, this consistency of his walk and witness is also marked by purity. Because you'll find in verse 3 again, he says he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. And in verse 7, it tells us about him breaking down the altars and the idols and so on. And all of those terms, I know there was a physical element where he smashed the idols and the images. But the principle is there, the principle of purity. Why did he smash the idols? Why did he cleanse the land and purge Jerusalem? Because Josiah loves holiness and purity. And get that tonight. Don't focus on the actual physical element of smashing idols. I'm not saying tonight you go out and smash idols all over the country. What I am saying, my friend, is you start to smash the idols in your heart. You begin to pursue purity. And this walk with God that shows this consistency where more and more and more you're casting off sin. Growing, that's sanctification, you see. That's this going forward with the Lord in holiness and in godliness throughout your days. There is, therefore, the consistency of his walk and his witness. There's much more I could say here, but I will just leave it there with regard to that point. But I ask you, I just pause before I bring my final thought. I ask you tonight, are you consistently walking with God? Witnessing for God, in prayer, progressing, dealing with sin, fleeing from it, abhorring it. Now, this is not old-fashioned, by the way. That's what you will be told when a preacher mentions sanctification or putting away sin. And there are all kinds of sins I could mention for time. But you'll be told, now that's old-fashioned, or that's legalistic, you know. That's what's being said. Because there are Christians who want to walk with God and witness for God with a life that's consistently serving Him and is marked in these ways. And my friend, where does that consistency What's the source of it? The source of it is the work of the Holy Ghost in the soul. It's the work of grace in the heart. And where there's a work of the Spirit and a work of grace, there will be a desire for all of this to pray, to progress, and to be pure of life as much as you possibly can be. And you will not entertain the idea that times have changed. And what that really means is they're saying that God has changed and the Bible has changed and the standards have changed and the ways of holiness are no more to be incumbent upon us in the Christian life today. This is the thinking of today. But I tell you, my friend, it's not the thinking of the book. It's not what God says. And therefore, you forget about what people tell you when they will maybe mock at you or scoff at you because you're endeavoring to walk with the Lord and witness for the Lord in a consistent life of spiritual interest and holy and godly living and progressing farther and farther. Do not be intimidated. But look away to your Savior and model yourself of Him. Because He's the one who had that consistent walk and witness like no other. Pattern yourself of Christ, and you will be godly, and you will be holy. And then there's the challenge of His walk and His witness as I close. 2 Kings 23:25 sums it all up. It's a tremendous statement. It says this, 2 Kings 23, verse 25, "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him." There's a marvelous, there's a glowing testimony. And in that, my friend, there is a challenge. Read those words, think about those words again. 2 Kings 23:25, "Like unto him there was no king before him, and no king after him." And the reason is given, "who turned to the Lord with all his heart, his soul, and might." You know, those words remind you of what the Lord says in Matthew 22. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind, with all thy strength." Do you see, young person, how the New Testament is based on the Old Testament? How what Christ says about holy living and godly living and about going on with the Lord and the challenge of it all to the world around is based upon the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament. You see, the challenge of Josiah's walk and witness is simply this, that he shows you tonight the level to which you can come as a Christian in an ungodly world. The spiritual features that can mark your life. When you're dead and gone, what will people say about you? You might say, "Well, when I'm dead and gone, that's a long time away, is it?" How do you know when you're going to die? Do you think you're going to be around forever? Or are you promising yourself many, many years and you're saying to yourself, "Well, one of these days, way down the road, I'll start to walk with God and witness for God. But right now, I want to give myself to the world and I want to please the flesh." Young person, you have no idea what tomorrow brings. And when you're dead and gone, therefore, what will be left behind? Here's what Josiah left behind. This challenge to us tonight, there was nobody like him, either before him or after him. And that's a tremendous statement. That's a powerful statement. That means that he outshone David. That means that he outshone Hezekiah, his grandfather. And he was a mighty man. And that means that all the others who followed after him, they pale into insignificance when compared with this man, Josiah. This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And what a challenge it is to our souls. It's a challenge to pray for a company of young people. Oh, a multiplicity of young people. Raised up by God, walking with God and witnessing for God right through to the end of life's journey. So that when they go, they are missed. And I tell you tonight, Josiah was missed. If you'll just look there in 2 Chronicles 35 before we finally close, in verse 25, you will learn in that verse of how much this man was missed. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 25, listen to these words, read them with me. It says, Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women of his spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day. And it talks there about singing men and singing women. It's talking about what they did. That is, they lamented. It wasn't a joyful song. It was a song of sorrow because the man of God was gone. And never would his voice be heard. And never would his life be seen again. He's gone now, Josiah. And Jeremiah, that mighty prophet himself, he gets together with the lamenters among God's people and they cry to heaven because one has gone who's sorely missed. And so Josiah to this day challenges our hearts. Irrespective of the evil of the day, the depths of wickedness of our times, young person, Jehovah supports his people. Begin tonight to walk with God and witness for God as you've never done before. Whether because you're not saved or you're backslidden away from the Lord, begin tonight and go on with the Lord. And when your day is over and your life is done, then you'll be missed in this world. Missed among God's people for your walk and your witness. That's why we should want to be missed. That's why we should want the Lord to work in our hearts, that we'll make an impact for Christ, for his glory. May the Lord write his word in all our hearts. Let's just have a wee word of prayer before Mr. Brown comes to the pulpit. Let's bow together in prayer. Every one of us bowing together before the Lord, reverencing ourselves and stilling ourselves. And may I say to you tonight, young person, to take to heart what God has said to you. And if you would like help with some spiritual question or problem or need, there are many ministers here, well, a number of ministers here tonight. Seek out your help. I'll be glad to help anyone, or Mr. Brown, or Mr. Porter, Reverend Kenny's here, ones I've seen. It's a time to make a fresh start, a new beginning. May the Lord help you. And Father, bless my word, we pray. Use it for thy glory. And write it on hearts by the Spirit of the living God. And use it, we pray of thee, for Jesus' sake and for his eternal praise. Amen.